episode 16 of the Viking Voices Augustana Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Evans, the Director of Athletic Communications here at Augustana. Today we're joined by junior point guard Jordan Spencer of the Viking men's basketball team. The Vikings opened the official season, I guess you could call it, on Saturday with their first official practice. The Vikings have been going in preseason workouts for quite some time here. Jordan, thanks for joining the show.
No problem.
So how's the start? Obviously, like I said, the official start to the season was on Saturday. After practice, you guys headed out to the football game, recognized for the national championship last year. But as a whole, how do you think preseason workouts went for the squad this year?
Yeah, it's went well. We've had a lot of new numbers. And we had six incoming freshmen and then a new transfer. So a lot of new faces. So we've just been the last couple months just getting to know each other, trying to build some team chemistry on the court and off the court. And they've been going well. We've been playing hard. We're in great shape right now. Definitely, that's been a main focus. And we're just starting to gel at the right time.
I know I don't have to tell you this. It's probably a little different feel, different look in the gym. I mentioned to Coach Billard on Saturday. For me, been here at Augustana now for 5 years and saw Dane Jansen, Casey Schilling, and Alex Richter every single year, every day. Saw them in the gym. It was a little different not seeing them there for me. On Saturday when I went to that first practice, but obviously you guys have been working out here for quite some time. And what's the difference been like in the gym?
Yeah, it's a different vibe. Adam and Zach and Austin all definitely had to take that new role of being leaders. Al, Dan, and Casey were definitely great leaders, and they left a great culture for us to continue. They worked hard. They had great effort, great attitudes, and me and the other seniors are just trying to keep it going.
Well, you can talk about everything that those guys brought to the table and that we don't have anymore, but we can also talk about everything we've got coming back. Yeah. We've got 10 guys coming back from the last couple of years that obviously 65 and 5 the record, and national championship, back-to-back conference championships. There's still a lot of guys that contribute and can do a lot of great things, so it's got to be a good feeling, a sense of okay, let's maybe find our niche this year and let's get ready to start this next season strong.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a great number of players, but as you said, we can definitely become a better defensive team. People are going to be thinking that we've lost a lot of points, but that gives great opportunities for guys like me, Adam, John, Mike, and even Steven and Matt. Just guys coming off the bench too. Marcus has had a great off-season. And even Zach's playing. They've been playing against guys like Dan, Casey, and Al every day for 2 years. So they know this is their time to step up and take that role.
You had obviously as a point guard, you had a lot of weapons to choose from the last couple of years. But we've also seen your ability to score. I'm going to take the term from here on TV broadcast: score the basketball. I mean, you've got guys that can do that. Adam can score. You can score. John can score. Zach in the post can score. So, like you said, we lose all those points, but you still have guys that can step up and contribute, have contributed, and will contribute again.
Yeah, exactly. We got a lot more guys this year that can score and lead us. It's not going to be the same leading score every game. It's going to be, whoever on the night is rolling, we can roll with that. And my role is not really going to change that much. I mean, I'm still going to do what I do and try to get assists and find my teammates, but I know now this year I got to be more aggressive with the scoring and just take my opportunities when they come.
You set the single season assist record last year, averaging almost 7 assists a game, and a guy that can threat a double or even a triple double on every night. What is your, obviously you're running the offense, you're running the show. What is your outlook when you head into a game? Obviously you're looking at your matchups, but are you looking at what types of things are you looking to take advantage of? What's your idea going in? What are you trying to think of different ways you can exploit using, off the dribble, off the pass, all that kind of?
Definitely. It all starts with the scout. The coaches give us the scout on the team. Then you analyze the team, and then I analyze who I'm going up against and where I can exploit them. If they're slightly taller, I feel like I'm far quicker, I can get past them kind of thing. If they're smaller, I feel like I can score over them, kind of things like that. So that's how I kind of break it down. Me individually, but as a team, I'm always, the first thing is a win. My stats, I feel like, will kind of take care of themselves, whether it's a double-double, triple-double that I want to aim for. I'd be happy to do that. I mean, I don't know if it's, has it been done at a school yet?
I haven't seen it. I've looked all over the place, and I can't find a triple-double.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm a jinx. I don't want to say I'm a jinx, but I'm as a former student athlete, I will admit that I might be a little superstitious. But when Jordan's got 9 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. I'm like, all right, there's 7 minutes left. We're up by 30.
Yeah,
let's get that. I really want to see what, I mean, you've been so close here the last couple of years to getting that triple-double, and it's usually been one rebound shy or an assist shy or even a point shy. It sure would be fun to see.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen myself. I've been close a couple of times, and I'm just like, you know, just because we've been up so much, and then, you know, we get some guys to come in and stuff. But I definitely, before I graduate, that is an A. I'm definitely going to get a triple-double. Yeah. Well,
you're talking to the right guy. I mean, I do work on the stat machine. My guys work, you know, so, hey, if there's a, you know, I don't know what I'll think about it next time. Maybe we got that one assist. I'm like, you know, maybe that one. Yeah, he spin move, 6 steps. You know, Jordan did give him the ball. He got him in the right position. Maybe we can get you one.
Exactly. Or I'm sure I'll throw off the backboard and catch a rebound for myself, something like that.
We're joined by Jordan Spencer, a junior point guard, the Viking men's basketball team. You're listening to the Viking Voices Augustana Athletics Podcast. Jordan, you came in to Augustana your freshman year. You came in midway through the season and sat out that year as a redshirt. Obviously, you had a connection with Coach Trumbauer getting you here to Augustana. Coach Trumbauer now out at Black Hill State. But what was that like coming in right away? Obviously, your basketball, kind of your life, and you come in and you get to practice. I remember coming in at winter break and watching one of your first practices, thinking, "Man, this kid's gonna be good." But what was that like for you to just sit back and just get to practice and not be able to play that right away?
Yeah, it was really hard transition to when I think back about it. I came in one of the coldest winters ever, and I couldn't believe the temperature first of all, and then getting to practice, just the speed and intensity of it was just a shock too, which. You know, in England, I was the best player and everything, scoring, you know, assists and stuff like that. And to come to a university here and take that, you know, step back, first of all, because, you know, you got guys that have been there a while and, you know, they know the ropes. So it was a big culture shock, the speed and the intensity. But, like, right now, I'm really settled and, you know, and I'm caught up to the speed and everything like that. But it was definitely a culture shock at first. I was definitely culture shocked.
I remember chatting with you right away, some of the things you had to kind of pick up on. There's some rule differences and different things you had to get used to coming over from England. And how did that adjustment period work? And did it take an actual game for you to kind of get that figured out to what you couldn't do?
Yeah, I mean, I got called for a 5-second call, you know, when they're pressuring you. I didn't know that was a rule. I mean, coaches didn't think to say it to me because they just assumed I knew. I had no idea. I came over just knowing the 24-second shot clock, that's about it. But, I mean, that red shirt season really helped. I mean, I think I sat out of about 10 games, which isn't too much, and it was a great amount of time for me just to, you know, in practice every day, get used to the speed and the rules and everything like that, and it was very beneficial to me.
You see a lot of players from England. There's some, you know, obviously there's guys that have come over and had some success both in college and the professional level, but it seems like at least from my angle, I see, you know, social media, that sort of thing, that England, London, they're keeping an eye on your career and what you're doing over here. What's it like? Have you gotten back a couple times? But what's it like having fans back home, you know, keeping an eye on what you're doing and seeing and obviously cheering for you and hoping you're doing well?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like, starting with my friends and stuff, I have them watching late at night and things like that, my real close friends. And then just when I go back, it's nice to – you get to see – what level you're at, because when I came out here, you know, I was in England mode, and I go back like once a year. The last time I went back was last Christmas, but I didn't play. I went summer before last, and I could see the difference in my speed and my quickness, my assertiveness, and just things like that. So I can't wait. I'm gonna go back this Christmas just to visit family, but next summer I'll be going back and I'll be playing in tournaments and stuff, so it'll be great to see them, especially after winning, you know, the national championship and things like that. I feel like, I don't think there's any other English player that has won a national championship at any level, so I mean, I'm really proud of that, and I can't wait to go back and kind of like show my ability off.
Yeah, I noticed, obviously, like I mentioned, I see social media reaction, that sort of thing. We see a lot. There's also a pretty good media following over in London, and they obviously, I've seen some, you know, segments comparing you to other players.
Yeah.
From London. So it's for me, it's awesome to see, coming over here and playing here at Augustana to see the media back home following you like that?
Yeah, definitely. Basketball back there is growing. It's like kind of like soccer here. You know, it's not quite got the funding or things like that, but it's becoming more popular from an early age. So there's a couple websites out there, like Hoops Fix and some other things that really start pushing for funding and the media to get hold of it. And now we start seeing live games in England, which we never seen before, live British basketball games and things like that. So, as long as it keeps growing, by the time I finish with college, you know, hopefully, professional, the media and things will make it blow up in England.
Yeah, it's obviously fun to see a sport growing, like you mentioned here, soccer, a growing sport. We've talked with Coach Barkas about that in the past. You yourself, I see you out there quite a bit cheering on the ladies over at Morstad Field. What do you think of the obviously maybe a little different game here than back home? Not as nutty, but still fun to be able to come on out and cheer for your school and see some soccer too, right?
Oh, definitely. I love soccer, or as we call it, football. I love a bit of football. I've even got some of the teammates in it, which is good. Adam Bayer, he didn't know really about soccer, and now he loves it too. And it just feels like being back home when I'm in, just watching the games, and we're just, you know, shouting some stuff, just some friendly banter and things like that. So it's just a little reminder of home, and I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Tough year for England soccer.
Everywhere, soccer, the economy, we got Brexit going on, but yeah, it's been a tough year. You know, we always look like we're getting somewhere, and then we just fall flat on our faces. It's just not going well right now.
Iceland, right?
Oh yeah, their manager was like a plumber, something like that, like a part-time plumber and a dentist. And you know, these guys are getting paid 100 grand a week, and it was a tough summer for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully, maybe next year will be a little better. But like I said, we want to see the basketball continue to grow, and obviously. We enjoy seeing the coverage and support you receive back home, and we're happy to help in any way. Like I said, it's fun to see our student athletes getting that, especially someone, you know, coming in from far away, if you will,
yeah.
and them paying attention to what you're doing here at Augustana. Yeah. So it's great to see. Looking back at last season, national championship run, you think about. Obviously, the regular season was a great season. Go up and get that first loss at Northern State, and you bounce back with a big win at Minnesota State Moorhead the following night, and that kind of set up that second run back into the playoffs, where you had to beat Moorhead again in the championship, and then you go back into the regional, and you got to get to that championship game, and then you got to go through Northwest Missouri State again, which has been a great rivalry the last couple of years, but. Have you had a chance to sit back maybe and reflect on last year and what it's meant to Augustana and to the basketball program and maybe even to you personally?
Yeah, I think really when we came back to school is when it really sunk in. I mean, the summer, you're not trying to live on the highs. You're trying to get back in the gym and work out. But, you know, when we got back here and, you know, you get in touch with guys like Al, Dan and Casey and Tanner, that they come back and visit, and you know, it's just like the same team, you know, the same team that you made that run on, the same brothers, and it was just a great feeling, especially, you know, when we go out there and get those rings, it just all kind of sets in, and when you see the size of them too, you really know that you won a national championship. So yeah, it's like one of those things, I think, like fine wine, you know, the longer the time goes without being in a national championship, the finer the results are. I'm just happy that we got those rings, and just it's going to be, you know, 20 years from now, no one can take that away from me, you know. So it's just a great experience that I got to do. So I'm happy.
How looking back at the Elite Eight, obviously not ideal situation with Dan getting hurt that first game, and how did the team rallied, and the rest is history. But how much of an impact do you think that team rallying around, guys stepping up, Zach Uskin coming in and playing great, yeah. Great games there at the end of the season when you needed them most, and Al stepping up, Adam stepping up, just you name it, guys stepped up and didn't let that be the end of it, be the marker of the season. You guys took that and used it as energy or fuel, however. What was that like? What was the mood like it right away, and then how did that shift and then turn into what it ended up being?
I mean, from the beginning, we just had this mindset of like, we're not if we don't win a national championship, then we failed. And our seniors really, really fed off that. That was their mindset, their goal from the beginning of the season. And, you know, we get to Elite Eight and Dan gets injured. I know Al for sure was in a mindset that, you know, no one could change that. He is winning a national championship, and that is it. You know, I mean, me and Adam starting with them, with the three seniors, we can feed off that. And my biggest thing personally is that I wasn't scared of not winning. I just really did not want to lose. That was my thing. I just, like, I cannot picture myself coming all the way to Texas, losing in the, you know, the semifinal or the quarterfinals, and then going home. Like, that was not a mindset. So I think just that, you know, Zach really got his opportunity, and hopefully he continues that this season. But you know, even Casey had a great, like, everyone just had a great game, and I think it was just one of those fairy tale moments that, you know, no one was going to take away from us.
Yeah, just one of those almost made for Hollywood. You know, you can't, it's one of those where you don't, it's the script you don't want to write.
Yeah.
And then if you end up, you know, that ends up being the script, that's, you know, obviously a story that'll never be forgotten. When you first got here, playing home games at the Elman Center, and since then switched to the Sioux Falls Arena, and we've seen the support of this team really, really grow over the last couple of years, to seeing the, you know, 4,000 plus on a regular basis at the arena, and then down in Texas, like you mentioned, heading down all the way down there and seeing the support follow throughout that run as well. But what's it like playing in front of the fans that do support Augustana basketball?
Oh, it's the best. You know, we have the best fans in the country, most energetic. I don't think there's any other team in the NSIC that would travel with that many fans to Texas to see us play. You know, it was incredible. I think, you know, a lot of these games, you know, against Northwest and the Moorheads and the close games, we wouldn't get through it without the fans. You know, fatigue kicks in, but, you know, when you got 3,000-4,000 people behind your back screaming for you, I really feed off energy. That's my thing too. If I got a crowd that, you know, going crazy, like, I feed off that. It just brings a lot of energy on the defensive end, running offense and things like that. So, you know, as long as, you know, keep that continued success that we've had with the fans, you know, hopefully it will transpire onto the floor as well.
We had, when we went down to Frisco and played at Dr. Pepperino, we walked in, and I don't know if you felt it, but I felt almost a sense of familiarity.
Yeah.
We play in the Sioux Falls Arena, the larger building, kind of the cavernous feel, and I kind of, when I sensed anyways, and we felt it, they just kind of felt normal. How much of an impact do you think that maybe helped your guys' confidence and shooting-wise? I mean, shooting sight lines in that arena, I'm not a basketball player, but mm-hmm. I can imagine, you know, the wide open, not a lot going on behind the hoops isn't the most friendly atmosphere to shoot in, and we obviously shot very well during that stretch.
It was, I mean, you know, we had our section of fans that were behind the bench, which was really huge. You know, I remember going off to the Elite game, we didn't know we had that many fans, and you go meet the people that have traveled this far, and you're just like, you know, some students as well that, you know, 14, 16 hour drives, and that's when you know, like, you know, people have set some time apart to be a part of this. And, you know, I mean, playing in front of two fans or 5,000 in that situation, I don't think the result would have changed. I think, you know, it was either elevate our game or we're still going to be at that level where we need to win a championship. So it was just great, yeah, to have that many fans in that kind of location.
In a couple of weeks, we'll be hitting the road, heading to North Carolina, going to play Duke at Cameron Indoor. Ever imagine that you get that opportunity to go over there and play at Cameron Indoor? Obviously, one of the most recognized college programs, basketball programs in the country, and an exciting opportunity for you and your teammates.
Yeah, definitely. You know, these are the kind of games that you dream of. You know, there's not a lot of players that can say they've gone to Cameron and played Duke and met Coach K and things like that. So it'll be a great experience. You know, it's not going to be like the Iowa game. You know, we know that it's going to be a, you know, very, very tough game, but, you know, we're going to enjoy the experience, play hard and do what we have to do. But, you know, we got a couple tough regional games straight after that in Oklahoma, which will be, you know, the real start to our season. So, you know, we're looking forward to the experience of going to Duke and playing them. And, you know, they got a really good team this year. It's not like, you know, they're going to be going number one as well. So it'll be a great experience. But, yeah, we have a real couple important games after that. And, you know, then shortly after that, we're going to Northwest too. So we got a lot of games. Just hopefully, you know, we'll be ready by then that we'll get the ball rolling.
Jordan, your third year junior season here, what are some things obviously you've made a lot of great friends here at Augustana, teammates, but and the community as well. I guess probably miss home, miss family, miss friends, that sort of thing. But what's it like being at Augustana? How has that helped you kind of have more of a, have a sense of, you know, family togetherness, you know, being here? How much, maybe you don't, you miss home obviously, but maybe less because you got a good group of guys that as teammates and friends, and then obviously the campus as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, whenever there's any kind of holiday going on, you know, my team, I got friends outside of basketball, teammates here that will, you know, offer me to go home with them, you know, Thanksgiving and things like that. So, you know, I wouldn't even expect that back home in England just because of just how people are like. But, you know, I found like Americans, especially in the Midwest, people are, you know, very nice and very welcoming. And, you know, the community's been that way for me the last couple of years. And, you know, I can't thank everyone enough for just, you know, being a great support system when, you know, I don't have my family here. You know, it's very expensive for, you know, for my family to fly back or fly, see me play a game. So, you know, just having like, you know, Adam's parents and Austin's parents and things like that just really look after me when, you know, after games or anything like that. You know, I can't thank them enough. But, you know, hopefully before I graduate, my parents will get to come see me play one time live instead of having to watch it on a computer screen. So that'll be good.
Other than maybe family, what do you miss most about home?
Oh, man. Well, definitely my friends, but, you know, just a couple, some food. I miss, like, battered sausage and chips. You ever had battered sausage and chips? English tradition? No.
Fries.
Chip shop. Yeah. Okay. Fries. So we call it the chip shop. We go to the chip shop, so fries, and you get some battered sausage and chips. I miss, like, Jamaican food. Because my dad's Jamaican, like, jerk chicken and rice and peas and things like that, but definitely like the football and the banter with my friends. We call it banter, so just always kind of like making jokes on each other and things like that. It's a lot different humor from here to from Midwest.
And you probably don't, you know, we got some rivalries within our team in American football. Packers fans, Vikings fans, probably nothing compared to what's back home when alliances with the football clubs.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely a different kind of rivalry back home, especially with my friends. Like we'll be arguing a lot just in our like a group chat just about soccer daily. So I mean, and especially with the fans too, when you go to a soccer game, I'm sure you might have seen some movies and things like that. That's how it is. It's quite aggressive, but it's all, you know, it's all in good fun. But I just like with the Packers and the Vikings thing. Sorgi's a Packers fan, and Adam's a, he's a Vikings fan. Yeah. Sorgi's a Vikings fan. Adam's a Packers fan. So whenever they play, I just hope they both lose.
Well, we had a good one to start. The Vikings picked up a win in the first meeting between the two teams. So we'll see what 5-0, and we'll see what happens the next time around. But yeah, that's definitely an interesting perspective. Just thinking, I have grown up in Minnesota. I'm a Vikings fan. I have a lot of friends. Packers fans as well. It's just kind of interesting. You just whatever your family, went with. It's who you're with. Is that kind of the same way? Is it a family thing?
Definitely. Back home, my dad supports Tottenham Hotspur, which is an English Premier League soccer team, and I just grew up liking them. And it was kind of like being a Vikings fan. It was kind of rough to be a Tottenham fan at first, but now the future's bright. You know, we're doing well as well, so we can start talking back to our rivals now and feeling quite good.
Any big culture shocks? Any experiences you've had since you've been here? That any maybe interesting stories or?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Oh, I mean, okay. The first day I got to America was quite weird for me because London's quite similar to New York and just how people are. Like, you don't really say hi to anyone and stuff like that. So I went to Walmart to buy like bed sheets and pillows and things like that. And I'm checking out and I you know, my blankets and stuff just for my dorm, and my pillow gets to the front and the woman like grabs my pillow and starts putting her head on it like, oh, I wish I could be in bed right now. I was like, hey, I'm sleeping on that tonight. And like, I didn't say that, but I was like looking like, because in England they just check your bags out. They don't even talk to you or ask you how your day was. Just check your bag out and you have to bag it yourself. Like, you don't have the people doing it. So that was, to me, it was like, I don't know, it was like really late. I just going on the flight and like, she's laying on my pillow. I was like, okay, what is going on with this place? It's a little too friendly. But now it's just an everyday norm. Everyone's just nice. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a Midwest thing. You know, Minnesota nice, where I come, you know, where I grew up. That's a thing. I promise you. I mean, it's you almost, it's like everybody knows everybody type of thing. And I feel like I can't go anywhere without knowing somebody through a connection or some way, whether it's from back home or through work or whatever it might be, it's, you always kind of have an idea, you know, hey, the so-and-so is going to be at this, you know, better, you know, make time to, you know, stop and say hi. I mean, even last week, our Hall of Fame induction here at Augustana, one of our Hall of Fame inductees was athletic director at my high school where I grew up, and he also coached my uncle's playing football when they were in high school. So I couldn't, you know, obviously I had to make time to head over and say hi. So it just feels like there's always a connection.
It's definitely such a small world. You know, like, especially in Sioux Falls, I've noticed, like, everyone knows what's going on with everyone kind of thing. Some way or another, there's your name's going to pop up some way. So,
speaking of small world, Olivia Montez Brown, student athlete on our track and field team, also from London, came over. Had an outstanding season last year. Did you guys know each other previously, or have you gotten to know each other, obviously, both here at Augustana?
Yeah, she's actually from – so I'm from London, and she's from up north, so, like, about 3 hours away, I think, Cheshire or Manchester, which is – you know, they speak a little different than how I speak. She's got a little bit of a northern accent that it's hard to understand sometimes. But, no, we didn't actually know each other, and how we got to know each other is just, oh, you hear there's a new British person on campus, so – we did that. I met with her. We just spoke. The first conversations is always like, what do you miss from back home? Or, oh, they don't have this in America kind of thing, like a lot of candy and things like that. So we just talked about that kind of stuff and just related on that. And yeah, she had a really successful season and, you know, just trying to put Britain on the map everywhere at the school.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to probably have somebody to relate to more so, and especially probably for her last year adjusting to moving here as well. So Jordan, thank you for the time. I'm excited to have you on the podcast. We'll have to get you on here again and maybe have you and Olivia join us and maybe give us a little lesson, maybe some pop culture, or talk to us about life back home.
Yeah, that would be fun. Definitely could have you guys learn something about us.
You're listening to the Viking Voices Augustana Athletics Podcast. And don't forget, for the most up-to-date information on Augustana men's basketball and all 19 varsity sports, visit our website at goaugie.com.